Emily Rood's new book, Tastes Like Chicken, is the history of chicken, a seemingly commonplace bird from its domestication nearly 10,000 years ago to its current status as our go-to meat. How did chicken achieve the culinary ubiquity it enjoys today? It's hard to imagine, but not terribly long ago, individuals consumed less than 10 pounds of chicken per year. Today, we consume nearly 25 times as much chicken as our great-grandparents did. Collectively, Americans now devour 73.1 million pounds of chicken every day, 8.6 billion birds per year. And the question, of course, is how did this happen? Just one of the many questions answered in the new book, Tastes Like Chicken, A History of America's Favorite Bird. And it's a great pleasure to welcome its author, Emily Rood, to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. So what led you to the chicken?
The chicken, well, this is probably bad for a chicken historian, but I'm not a big fan of eating chicken. For some reason, my whole life, it's been one of the foods I've never enjoyed, and everyone else seems to love it so much. It's for every meal, and so I just have always viewed that as kind of curious. So this project began as my senior thesis in college, and so I investigated exactly why chicken has risen in such prominence. And so that's it.
I want to get to the rising to prominence part in a moment, but were you able to nail it down as to what you don't like about chicken?
I honestly don't know. I just don't think, maybe it's the texture, maybe it's the flavor. I'm not big on meat in general. I've been a vegetarian for a long time. I'm getting better at trying new things. But I don't know, for some reason, it's just always struck me as odd. I also don't like tomatoes, and I also don't like cilantro, so.
Pretty good company, sure. The great talk show host Tom Snyder, who was the host of The Tomorrow Show on NBC for a number of years, once said to me that he didn't like chicken because it was the only food that he felt meat that tasted dead. And I'm wondering how you feel about that.
I don't know if I agree. They're all dead.
Yes, but they taste dead.
I guess I could say, I mean, that is the modern chicken. The modern chicken, a lot of people argue that it just doesn't have the same flavor profile that it once did. I don't know. I haven't eaten an old-fashioned chicken, so I don't know. Maybe I'll like that better.
So, okay, let's look now at how we got into this explosion, if you will, of so many chickens being eaten. What is it about the chicken? What is it about our society that came to this bird for food in such droves?
Well, the biggest thing that I'm sure most people would point to as well is that in the 1960s and 1970s, there came out all these studies about how heart disease and high cholesterol are linked. And obviously the biggest culprits in that were fingered were red meat, so beef and pork. And all of a sudden people had a reason to eat chicken. This is very surprising, however, because never before in history has anyone believed chicken to be a healthy food, which is quite surprising given how much we eat it today. It was beef and pork that were the healthiest, so this transition in the 1960s, 1970s is a big shift in how Americans understand what is healthy food. But before this was a huge, huge transformations in the science and technology of chicken. But today we eat chicken because it's cheap, it's easy to cook, and it's affordable. 100 years ago, chicken was none of these things. It was one of the most expensive meats you could possibly buy. A little bird, it's very hard to cook from scratch, all the cutting and the plucking and the butchering for relatively little meat. And again, as I said, it wasn't a health food. So in the decades before this big mental shift of U.S. eaters, we have this incredible buildup of science and technology behind the chicken to make it from this scrawny little bird into a huge breasted creature that we eat today. So
what is it about the chicken that really even interested the Romans, stuffing it and roasting it? I assume that is not comparable to what we go through now in wanting to consume, as you say, a really an altered bird and species, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's fair. Well, the Romans, I don't think that's a really fair comparison because the Romans just ate everything.
Okay.
If you go back into, Roman cookbooks are filled with recipes for dolphins and jellyfish.
Okay.
And
whatever the hell was around, sure.
Yeah, chickens definitely played a part of it, but there's nowhere near, no culture in history, except for maybe on the Easter Islands. I've read that they ate a lot of chicken before they died out. Has ever come close to eating chicken the way we do. It's really unprecedented in the history of eating in the entire world, actually, the current diet we have.
When did we start to change it? When did we start to alter the chicken to make it ultimately more what was considered to be more flavorful and to be larger and more succulent, if you will?
Well, I'm sure a lot of farming advocates would argue that the move to make it bigger was not the same move as making it more flavorful, but
right.
I guess that's a debate for a different time. But really, the chicken started to rise in prominence really in the 1850s. There was kind of a chicken bubble is the best way to describe it. All of England and the United States became obsessed with breeding fancy chickens. It started with Queen Victoria. She received some Chinese chickens, Shanghai fowl, and she thought they were beautiful. They are very beautiful birds, very vibrantly colored. And so she started collecting them and breeding them. And then the British saw what their queen were doing, so they copied. And the Americans saw what the British were doing. And in 1849, until about 1855, it was just hen fever. People were obsessed with chickens. And it is from this time that we get a huge proliferation of breeds. And a lot of these breeds are today the heritage birds that you see in a lot of farms that people are trying to protect and conserve for the next generation. And at the same time, people started to realize that the chicken is a good animal to study. Charles Darwin, obviously famous for his finches, but a lot of his theories on evolution came from studying domesticated animals, and chicken was one of his favorite subjects. So evolutionary theory was built in part from the magnificent breeding of chickens in 1849 and the hen fever. And from there as well, the early work of geneticists, William Bateson, he is considered the father of genetics, he used chickens as well, chicken breeding processes. And so we have this whole buildup of science and technology studying the bird, and then people obviously applied it to the bird, and we get all these breeding evolutions and breeding advances until 1948, is the year of the Chicken of Tomorrow contest. If you look it up on YouTube, there are some entertaining videos. The USDA and the A&P food stores sponsored this big contest essentially to breed a fat, big, quick-growing chicken because during World War II, chicken obviously got a boost in consumption because of rationing, but then as soon as World War II ended, chicken consumption basically ended, and the industry was kind of in free fall, and they wanted a way to keep up with a fat pork chop and a succulent beefsteak, and so they had a government-sponsored contest to breed the fat, large, robust chicken that has eventually become the chicken that we eat today. So it's kind of long-winded.
Not at all. In my original question, though, to you, and mm-hmm. you made a statement about how obviously, you know, there is the debate as to whether this altering did incorporate and bring any additional flavor to it. But in my reading of the book, and it seems that at least that was the attempt, right? That was what they were trying to do, of not only to make it bigger, but also to bring in more flavor?
I don't think flavor, in none of the documents do they have any explicit aims for flavor. I think they're aiming more, they just wanted bigger breasts that grew faster, and more white meat is essentially what they're doing. There was no explicit, we want more chicken flavor. They just wanted a bigger chicken, a faster growing chicken that people would enjoy and they hoped would be flavorful, but it's not, they didn't specifically breed for.
Okay. But again, they wanted it. They wanted to be something that people would enjoy, that would have a flavor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And people did enjoy it immediately. People in the 1950s, chicken consumption skyrocketed because these new chicken breasts were such a different texture, and they're much heartier to eat, and people would just go crazy over them. People, locavores be damned, they would they would buy these chickens from the south and east coast of Virginia and Delaware, that were much more expensive as opposed to buying their local birds, just because these specific birds bred this way with larger breasts were just much more nice in the palate, largely because they had good texture and bigger size and cheaper price. So.
We started off our conversation and talking about how you didn't really care for chicken to eat. Is there any time in the research of this book that you felt sorry for this bird?
Yes. I mean, definitely. When you go down the animal rights alley, obviously there are people are very passionate about chickens, and you see some of the footage and the images behind the modern chicken production, and it is kind of hard to stomach at times. There's a lot of birds in small confinement. Their beaks get trimmed right when they're bored, so their beaks are basically chopped off. They die of disease a lot. But at the same time, as somebody who's just, I wanted to go through this history not to be a vegan diatribe almost, but to understand why. How did we get to this point? Not necessarily just of eating, but also of this type of factory farming, of this type of view towards our food. And for the amount of demand there is for chicken, I don't know if there's another way to supply this cheapness of food. I don't want to justify these horrible practices, but in a lot of ways, this is how we can achieve this level of chicken consumption. So, again, it's how you view it.
Well, the name of the book is Tastes Like Chicken, A History of America's Favorite Bird. It is published by Pegasus Books. Emmeline Rood, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Yes, thank you.
Very nice to have you on the program. Again, it's Tastes Like Chicken, A History of America's Favorite Bird, published by Pegasus. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.